Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Can y'all hear me? All right. Thanks, worship team. I'm kind of inspired. I'm ready to preach now. Y'all ready to hear from the Word this morning? I've been working really hard on things that don't have anything to do with church necessarily, but have a lot to do with me living somewhere. And so I've showed up a little bit slap happy, I think. So we'll see what happens. I hope you're all ready for that version of me. A little slap happy. You familiar with that term, anybody, slap happy? All right. If you're not, you're about to have a ride. We're going to be in part two of 3 R's of parenting. And so let me just go ahead and put this out here. If you're not a parent yet, store this away. Put some of this in your brain. There's some of this that you can utilize even right now as a single person or as a newly married or something like that. There's something in here still for you even that has nothing to do with parenting, because some of these principles are just applied to life in general. But if you've already moved past that point of parenting, I think that's probably a false thing to say. I don't know that you ever moved past it. It seems like grandparents are even, they're like super parents. They're parents that have actually got it figured out. Whereas the ones that are still parenting, we don't figure it out until the kids are gone and we go, oh, that's how it worked. And so please, grandparents in the room, those of you who have done this, please help us out. We need your wisdom and we need your experience. But there's something in here for all of us, I think, this morning. And this morning we're talking about what it means to raise up your child in the Lord. Last week we talked about receiving that kid and realizing that this kid is the Lord's. It's not mine. He gave this child to me. And so I need to remember that and recognize that. But today we're going to talk about some principles about what it means to raise this kid up. Now I want to just kind of tell you a couple of percentages. The percentages are not on our side, all right? There's a couple of parenting percentages I want to share with you. Here's a few in order. 75% of parenting is yelling back and forth through a closed bathroom door. All right, that's probably not a good time to parent. It's tough. 80% of parenting is walking around yelling, "Where are your shoes? Where are they?" That is a fact. 85% of parenting is saying it's bedtime about 100 times every night. And they know the drill. It doesn't even make sense. Go brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. It's frustrating. 90% of parenting is dreaming of some adult time and then talking constantly about your kids when you finally get it. I don't have that problem. I'm just going to throw that out there. I actually refuse to talk about my children when they're around because I do it so much when they are. 95% of parenting is repeating the word no over and over all the waking hours of your day. And so we say no a lot. The parenting odds are against us, and you probably do most or all of these particular things. Some of them you can't help. You just try to go to the bathroom in peace, and there they are. If you've got more than one, it's a guarantee you cannot have a peaceful bathroom visit. It's just not going to happen. As a dad, though, we have something magical about dads. They leave me alone. They're afraid of what I'm doing in the bathroom, I think. I don't know. They leave me alone. But mom, poor mom. So what's your parenting approach? That's kind of where we're going to be today. And I want to pop up a book. I've been trying to give you a lot of books lately anytime I'm going through some studies of things. This one's a great one by Chip Ingram. This is called Effective Parenting in a Defective World. And this is a really fine book, a fine read. It won't take you long if you're a halfway decent reader. But there's some studies in here, and I want to just show you this chart. I'm going to leave it up for just a moment. But this chart is kind of shows us all maybe where we're at as parents or where we've been or where we want to be, stuff like that. And so here's kind of quadrant one, the permissive parent. I don't know if you can see it. Quadrant one is in the top left corner there. This is where some of us find ourselves. We're very high in love. So kind of picture this. The arrow going up is love, and the arrow going right is discipline. So the permissive parent is very loving, but not very disciplining. Low in discipline. The study revealed that these permissive parents, as it put, tend to produce children with very low self-esteem and feelings of inferiority. That might seem shocking, isn't it? That you would think if they felt really loved, but no, the lack of discipline makes them very unsure of themselves. They don't know their limits, and these parents are generally fearful, afraid of messing up. That's the permissive parent. The bottom quadrant there, the neglectful parent, hopefully none of us find ourselves here, but we might at times. This is the kind of parent that doesn't express a lot of love or discipline. The children tend to grow up with no lasting relationship with mom and dad. Perhaps this neglect isn't intentional. Maybe you are just going through a lot of trauma or chaos in your own life, and so your kids kind of take the back seat. That's the neglectful parent. Then there's the authoritarian parent. I'm sure many of us find ourselves here. This kind of parent doesn't express a lot of love, but very good at expressing discipline. Good at this one. They raise children who are provoked to rebellion. The bar is always really high, and the musts are abundant. Come on, Mike. Get happy. If y'all hear some more fuzz, y'all just yell at me. Stop the fuzz, all right? The bars, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. Or do it. Whatever. Listen to your heart. The bar is always high. The musts are always abundant. The authoritarian parent, these kids, they have a strong sense of safety. But the bad news is the parent's always looking to win not only the war, they want to win every battle. And this kid normally goes on to be excited to leave home finally and go do whatever that kid could possibly imagine. The fourth quadrant is where we want to find ourselves. This kid, this parent is good on love, good on discipline, not too overbearing, compassionate, yet also firm with authority. The kids have clear boundaries but also feel loved. We sometimes call this the fellowshipping parent. They have fellowship, there's rules, but there's also unity, there's connection. The funny thing is, this study and this book talks a lot about Christian methodology, but certainly the God's Word has talked about what it means to be this authoritative parent long before any books were written like what we have today. And so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be talking about how to be this type of parent that has plenty of love, but also plenty of discipline. And I don't know, only you can answer where you feel like you're falling on this quadrant, or where you've been, where you want to be. But this is where we're going to find ourselves this morning in God's Word. See, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians how to raise up kids back in the first century, and this stuff still works. It's amazing how God's Word just keeps on working. And Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to find ourselves. If you want to know some stuff about the family, I'd encourage you to read chapters 5 and 6 on your own sometime. It talks about husbands, wives, children, what it means to have a boss. He calls them masters and slaves. Thankfully, we don't really have that situation in America, although you might feel like a slave sometimes at your workplace. I don't know, but it addresses so much about the family in these two chapters. But we're just going to spend time on a few verses this morning, chapter 6, 1 through 4. So let's go there together. And let's read. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." God bless the reading of His Word. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so what do we need to do here? This verse is incredible because it has what we call imperatives. If you're any good at English, this is a command-style word. It has four of them. So preaching gets really easy for me. I just go, well, there's four commands. Let's talk about them. All right? So here's the four imperatives. How to raise up your child in the Lord. Here's command one. Give them the right standard to obey. Give them the right standard to obey. It comes right out of the gate and says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, I can tell you this. When Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, certainly it would be important for those adults to pass this information on to their kids. If you go back to Deuteronomy, we know that it was a habit among the people to instruct and to teach their kids the way of the Lord and to be sharing these stories just like we should be doing as parents. But there's a reason that Paul is he's writing a letter to the church of Ephesus and saying, "Children, obey your parents." The children are not the first people to read this letter. Right? They're not going to say, "Oh, a hot letter from Paul." No, they need to hear it from their parents. So what has to happen first? First, the parents need to understand their part to play. So there's really no kids in the room today. So what do we do with verse 1? What do we do with children, obey your parents? Well, we've got to give them a standard to obey. They don't know what to obey until they see what to obey. It's a different word than what we see in other passages here in Ephesians, where there's the word submit, where there's the word teach and nourish and cherish. This is the word obey, which means to come under the hearing of, which means something has to be heard first, right? And so the children, let's first look at that. That is the word tekna. Y'all can take that home with you. I don't know where you're going to use this in your world, all right? But I know the Greek word for child. It's techna. It's going to pop up on Jeopardy like tonight, and you're going to be like, yes. It's one question you'll get right. The rest, you're out of luck. These are some smart folks. But techna, and that word means a dependent child, okay? So when you're reading this, adult in the room, and it says, children, obey your parents. Unless you are still a dependent child, this no longer truly applies to you. The honor your father and mother does. Okay, so if you're married, you have kids of your own, and mom and dad say, you know, you shouldn't do what you're about to do. You might want to go, well, me and my wife, this is how we want to do it. And they're just going to have to deal with that. That's the way it is. And so, I don't know, that's just a freebie for somebody in the room that might be thinking, but my dad said I should do this and my husband wants me to do this. You're married. You're not a dependent child anymore. You got to live with that guy. You chose him. So you two pray together and figure out what you should do. Dad, honor him. Say, you know, that's good advice, but we're going to go this way. Okay? I don't know. Who needed that? Maybe no one. But there it is. Children, obey your parents. Obey. Hupa akuate. It means come under the hearing. And so we've got to have something that we're instructing, something they can hear. And the words here are something that is right, which is righteous. This is something approved by God. And so here's a scary thought, parents, okay? If children are instructed to obey you in the Lord, that means you have to be giving them something from the Lord. It sounds easy in my head, right? That, okay, the best way to parent would be for me to actually be in prayer and actually be in God's Word and actually be letting this stuff come out of my mouth. If I would just parent like that, the kids would have something worth hearing and worth obeying. It's simple because if you could do that, and that's truly what I'm instructing you to do, what God's Word is instructing you to do, if you could do that, you would be a better husband, a better wife, a better employee, and certainly a better parent. So some people, they come to me and they say, well, I don't know what to do next at my job. I don't know what next step I need to take in this relationship. I don't know how to parent. And sometimes it's just as simple as, have you even come before the Lord with this yet? Like if you're coming to Pastor Super Pastor Jonathan and you think he's going to figure it out, I'm not that smart. I might look super smart. It's the hair. Like I'm getting it just right now, but I'm not as smart as I look. And so the Word of God, there's something about the Creator who knows everything you need to know, the Omniscient One, that if you would just get in prayer with Him, perhaps some answers would come your way that you wouldn't expect. Some things that, and you would know it in the moment. Something would come into your mind that you'd go, wow, I didn't think of that. That's from the Lord. And it hurts because I know that means I need to change something. You know, in your fleshly state, in yourself, you're never going to change. You're not going to sit there and go, I know how to fix this. I just got to keep on doing what I'm doing. That's actually the definition of madness or insanity. To keep on doing the same thing and expecting it to change. That's not going to happen. You're only going to increase the chaos. But if you come before the Lord and say, all right, I'm struggling in this area with this. Maybe it's a one particular child for you. Because every kid, if you've got more than one, every one is so different from the next. And you might have gone, well, me and my firstborn, we figured this thing out. Seems like we're on the same page. But that second one's from Mars. I don't know. This kid's nothing like me. You know, it just depends. So it could be any order. That's when you come before the Lord and say, help me understand their heart. I don't understand this child. Because partially, I don't fully understand myself all the time. So come before you ever come to anyone else for advice, certainly before you come to me, because the first thing I'm going to say is, what's the Lord telling you? What are you hearing from Christ in prayer? What are you hearing in His Word? If you haven't started here, you haven't even started to begun to look for answers. You got to start on your knees and in this book before you ever come to anyone else. There's some wise people out there, but no one's wiser than the Lord. So go there. That's the kids need something to obey. What do they need to hear? They need to hear God's Word. Your spouse needs to hear God's Word. This, I'm not even preaching to husbands today, but if you went just a few verses prior, it says, husbands, wash your wives in the Word. That's incredible. That means As a spiritual leader in your house, men, you should be pouring this book on everybody in the building. Your wife, your kids. That'll change your family. It'll change your house, I promise. But you got to go for it. You got to believe it and then go for it. Look what Colossians 3 says. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." It's not like Paul just says this once. He writes this letter to several people. The family's important to God, how we raise our kids. Deuteronomy 6 says, and these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Are y'all getting this? Is the picture getting in your head? What is Moses saying in Deuteronomy? The Word of God should be ever on your lips. Church, you want to know how to parent? You want to know how to live life? Get this in you so it will come out of you. Start reading. Start praying. If you're struggling in your devotional life, it's weird that you can actually pray about that. Come before Him and say, "Lord, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know how to pray." The Holy Spirit is a powerful being and can instruct you and teach you. He doesn't want to leave you hanging. And so, Lord, help us today to know how to pray, how to read. There's some more interesting things in this book from Chip Ingram, and I would encourage you to read more. But there's some things we believe about the kinds of instructions we should give our kids that we need to break. And I hope this is helpful for some of you today, some what he calls parenting myths. And here's a big one, and this is hard as a parent because you do feel this. The culture certainly spurs you on to feel this, that your child's primary responsibility is to juggle schoolwork and extracurriculars so that they become a well-rounded, successful adult. And in some ways, that's how we live. Whether we think that's true or not, that's how we live. I got to make sure my kid does not miss a single school thing. I got to be at every PTA event because, Lord help those schools, I got to be there, right? I got to do everything. My kid cannot miss a single travel league soccer game. Lord help him if he will not be a well-rounded person if he doesn't score a goal in every game. I mean, I don't know. You fill in that blank of what that is. And maybe you don't believe the myth, but your actions show that you do. Whereas he says, here's a parenting reality, and it's simple. My children's primary responsibility is to learn healthy obedience. Wow, really? That seems to be the indication of Ephesians and Colossians and Deuteronomy and most of the Word of God, is that our responsibility as a parent is to teach our kids to have healthy obedience for us, not because we deserve it, but because God does. And when they see us, they interpret the Father. Will you teach them to obey? Teach them to learn healthy obedience, which means you've got to find yourself in that quadrant. Because if you find yourself in that lower quadrant where you're giving plenty of things to obey, but not in a loving way, they will run from it. Because they don't like you. And that's a painful thing. Show them that you love them, but that you also care about what they're becoming and what they are obeying. Here's some worldly methods. You might want to write these down, parents, that maybe you're doing. And I do some of these, okay? And these are worldly methods that don't work. Man, somebody doesn't want me to preach this. Stop. Why are you blinking? Talk amongst yourselves. All right, I'm just not going to get to move. I'm just going to do hand chops. All right. Worldly methods that we use to try to obtain obedience. And we, look, don't feel bad. A lot of us do these. Here's number one, according to Chip Ingram. It's bribing. Come to mommy and I'll give you a sucker. All right? We do that. Doesn't work. Man, it seems like it should. Then they just, you might make a fat kid. Who knows? Threatening. Threatening. If you don't pick up your toys, I'm going to throw them in the garbage. The threat, I think threats might be okay if you'll actually do them. All right? So if you say, I'm going to throw them in the garbage, you better throw them in the garbage. Because then they're just going to think you're a liar. If I say something like that, I got to follow through. Dad's not a liar. You got to throw them toys in the trash. So don't pick the ones that you paid a lot for. Say, I'm going to put them on top of the fridge or think of something else that you can follow through on. But then you're going to create some climbers. So wait until you see a kid climb on top of the fridge. That'll be a day and a half for you. Emotional appeal. After all I do for you, this is how you repay me. Kids don't care. Them jokers are mean. Yeah, this is how I repay you, Dad. Take that. No, it's not going to work. Environment, if you can reach it, it's yours. You got to watch putting things on the fridge. Reasoning. But sweetie, your hot dog will get cold if you don't come eat it now. It's not going to work, probably. Think of some other strategies, biblical ones. Yelling. How many times do I have to scream at you? Countdown. If I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to come over there and get you. And then the kid knows, well, I always have 3 seconds. Daddy only is serious on three. Yeah. Really? So your word only works sometimes. Teapot. I have had all I can take. Now you're going to get it. That's like the Mount Vesuvius moment. And the kids know. They don't take them long to go, okay, we pushed Dad a little too far today. He's going to kill us all. Not a good parenting strategy. So here's just a few. And there's probably many more, and I bet you fit in some of these. What do? We've got to stop these worldly strategies, right? And it's hard. You're going to do some of these. You're probably going to, before you get out of church today, you might do one of these by accident. But be prayerful. Be mindful. Be working on it. Show your kids love and discipline where it comes from His Word. So get it in you. Start there. There's your starting point. Here's number two, the second command that I see here in Scripture. Show them the way of honor. Show them the way of honor. This one's going to sting somebody in the audience today because this is for us all. Because here's what I know for a fact. Every one of you in this room has parents. Every single one of you. All of you have parents. There's not a single Adam and Eve in this room. Not one of you were made from dust or somebody's rib. No, you came from mom and dad, all right? So show them the way of honor. And verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. Verse 3 says that it may go well with you. This particular command has no end. This particular command is ongoing, has eternal implications. And this is hard if you've had parents that were difficult, perhaps ungodly, immoral. I don't know what you grew up with. But sadly, well, I wouldn't say sadly. The truth is this. There's no out clause on this verse. Because only you can decide how you show honor, regardless of if the person deserved it or not. The Bible says you should honor them. Why? Because Christ commanded it. Because God commanded it first. Honor them. Honor is this idea of giving them the value, fixing the value, making the estimate, recognizing that their God-given position is your parents, and that you would give them the due that they require, not because of actions, but because of who they are, because of where God put them. And this can be very difficult for some of you. I understand that. I really do. But the Lord says honor them. And you know what's weird when you start having little crumb snatchers walking around? Your little crumb snatchers? They watch how you interact with mom and dad. And they go, well, you treat your parents like dirt. Really? And you want them to honor you? That's going to be tough. It's going to be an uphill battle for you. You better find something in faith, find something from the Lord here to honor your parents, even if you struggle to do so. Show them the way of honor. Parents, show them how to do it. Proverbs 30 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Isn't that cool, man? Sometimes the Bible just is awesome. Wow. That's gross. That's nasty. Sure enough, that's in God's Word, though. That's a heavy, the writer there, it's probably Solomon saying in Proverbs 30, it is very important to not mock and scorn your father and mother. Whether you think they deserve it or not, they should be getting your honor because of obedience to the Father. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother. This is where it comes from. It comes from Exodus as well, and then repeated in Deuteronomy. Honor your father and mother as the Lord has commanded you. Not because you want to, but as the Lord has commanded you, that your days may be long. Romans 12 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Are you showing your kids the way of honor? What does that look like? I used to hate this phrase as a child, all right? But you can use it. You can use it. Just maybe mentally, don't tell your kids this over and over because they'll learn to hate this phrase, all right? I used to hear this. You obey immediately, sweetly, and completely. immediately, sweetly, and completely. Immediately, sweetly, and completely. That means when daddy or mommy says something, you do it right away, and you do it sweet, and you do it right. Don't like that phrase. Still, I used to hear, there was another family at our church that the little girl would say it. It's immediately, completely, and sweetly. And I just remember that in my head and thinking, that's awful. But it's true. It's true. So help show your kids how to honor. You know what? These children, they don't come out knowing how to do this. They don't come out knowing how to obey. They don't know that if mommy says, go pick up your toys, it means pick them up right away. It doesn't mean, unless you say, hey, in about 30 minutes, go clean up your toys. But I don't think that's what many of us do. We're like, can you right now go do that? Help them understand. No, no, no. What you're doing, watching Johnny Test, is not more important. You need to go. Y'all don't watch Johnny Test. I understand. It's strange, that show. Send your kids to go clean their room. And do it without... Here's what my son does. He'll do it immediately, but... it's not sweet. And then he'll do it halfway. It's not complete. Show them how to honor. Show them how to do it right. Sometimes, this is the hard part about being a parent, is now you have to go help them clean. But you got to teach them to obey. You got to show them what right looks like. It means respecting your parents, not just in deed, but in thought. That you actually start to teach them, especially as they age, to understand why they have to do it. Now, here's where we get some things wrong. And this will be helpful because it's been helpful to me. There's a certain times in life where you start to give them more reasoning. But here's where we mess up. We get with a three-year-old and we try to tell them why they need to do it. They don't need to know why. They just need to know to do it. You do this. Why? Because I said do it. When they're like 9, 10, they're getting a little... Now they can start understanding some things. Psychologists call this the idea of a child needs concrete thoughts, whereas later in life they can get more abstract thoughts. And so you wait a little while before you give them the abstract. But when they're young, 6 and younger, probably 7 even and younger, just... teach them to do the job. Teach them to obey. Later, you can help them understand why. Here's what honor looks like. It cares for parents in their old age. I don't know about y'all, but I'm about to have a 4th kid, and somebody better take care of me when I get old. All right, it's too much work to have get old and they just put me in a home somewhere. I could have done that by myself. All right, I didn't need y'all for that. All right, so teach them how to honor. Teach them to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir. This stuff doesn't get old, right? All right, let's keep going. Here's the third command that I see. Encourage them with sensitivity and consistency. Encourage them with sensitivity and consistency. Now, here's a part we're not going to love a lot because this is the one for us. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Provoke is the word. Rouse them to wrath. One version says exasperate. Do not drive them to anger or frustration. Is there anybody in the room that felt like one of your parents just exasperated you? Yeah? I got 2 hands up. That doesn't mean I necessarily, both of them did. But I felt, you know, as a child at times, man, I just don't, you know, you might have had some kids like this, or you might have been this kid. I think I was this kid. I would go upstairs after feeling exasperated, and I would look in the mirror and just, you know, and just try to make myself red-faced. I'm like, I'm so mad right now. I think my kids are doing this. I don't know for sure. Little Kenzie will do this. You can come up to her and go, and she'll do it right back. You know, and her neck veins will pop. It's weird on a 2-year-old. It's so hilarious. Do not provoke your kids to anger. This is a tough one because we want to be an authority, but sometimes we take it a little too far. It's no longer loving or sensitive or consistent even. Children ought to honor their parents because of God's command. 1 Peter 3 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Wow. Showing them honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you to the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So there's an order to things that you would live in an understanding way, showing honor to one another. So here's a few things. You can write these down if you'd like. What are some things that maybe I'm doing that are provoking my children to anger? How about fault finding? You always find a fault. You do tell them to do something. They, to their knowledge, did it as good as they could, but you find every little nitpicky thing. Maybe just praise them a little first and then help them do it to your OCD standards. Maybe you're not spending enough face-to-face time to build a close relationship. The more kids you have, this gets hard. I'll be honest. Lately, I've been feeling like I need to just go on some daddy-daughter dates with little Addie girl. Because I spend a lot of time with Nate because he's my boy. The Lord has dealt me this hand. I have one. He's the boy. And now I've got to have the third girl. I don't know. There's not enough estrogen for me to figure this one out. So I'm praying. If y'all are praying, I'm praying. Because I don't know what's going to happen to me. But then we had the Kinsey, and the Kinsey is a lot like me. I feel a certain bond with the Kinsey. And I love my Addie, but I've been feeling lately, I need to spend some just one-on-ones with her. If you're feeling that, that's the Holy Spirit, church. The Lord's speaking to you. I've been feeling that lately. You spend more time with that little one. Maybe you're doing some things like labeling. This is dangerous because your kids will go on to live this out. Oh, you're the lazy one. Stop being lazy. You know, you're not as good at math as your brother. It's not. They're going to go on to live this out, you'll find. Maybe comparison, that's kind of what I was doing there. You know, your older brother would have never had trouble with this. Your younger sister, I'm guilty of this because sometimes the boy doesn't want to do things and the little girl will. I'm like, look at your little sister. She's not afraid of the dark. I'm probably going to do this again. I'm having a hard time with that one because I just want the boy to man up, you know, man up. But anyway, try not to do that comparison. Inconsistent. One day you're like, oh, it's cool, you can take a drink in there. The next day you're like, you better not take a drink in there. Make up your mind, parent. Decide what the rules are. Don't be inconsistent. Or maybe hypocrisy. This one. Whew. Also, dad, it's okay for you to do this, but I can't. Just figure that one out. Hypocrisy. And your kids get smarter. They're not dumb. These kids figure things out quick, man. Colossians 3 says, fathers, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will be discouraged and quit trying. So here's some ways, some 8 keys to building relationships that bond. Number 1, unconditional love. You love them and you keep on loving them. Number 2, you schedule time. If your lives are chaos, schedule time. Maybe make the kitchen table. This is, I think, for everyone, couples, families. Make time at the dinner table. We've gotten away from that. My family struggled with it. We've been just on the go a lot lately. But that was sacred time for me as a child, where my mother would, she's a cook by nature. Not everybody's like this, and that's fine. You know, live out what God's called you to be. But if God's called you to cook, cook it up. Your kids will appreciate it. But I can remember those times. Those were important times. Me and my parents and my siblings sitting around that table and just talking about who knows what nonsense when we were children. But that meant something to us. And I didn't even realize it until I got older, just how that bonded us. And now I see it with my kids that when we miss that time, it's like we're all doing our own thing. And we're forgetting to come together. I mean, even in your workplaces, this is valuable time. There's a book I've read by Patrick Lencioni called Death by Meeting. And he says, you know, obviously we all hate meetings, but he says it's really important when you start your day, just get your team together for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Just get around, huddle up. All right, what are y'all doing today? I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Just so everybody's like, all right, let's do it. And it gives you this coordination. It's good in business. It's great in families. Get together, 30 minutes, 1 hour meal. You have time to do this. You do, because you got to eat anyway. So clean off that kitchen table. Some of you haven't seen your kitchen table in a year, maybe more. It's going to take a minute. Clean it up and get them butts in seats. Have some scheduled time. Focused attention. Dads, I don't know. I don't think moms struggle as bad with this. Moms, y'all have a superpower. It's called attention for your kids. You actually love your children. Dads, we have to work on our love. But dads, maybe put a controller down, put the TV off for a minute, and actually have some eye contact with these kids. Focus attention. Have ongoing communication, meaningful touch. If you're not a hugger, I don't care. Start hugging those kids. They need it. Forget your feelings aren't the only thing that matters. They need meaningful touch. They need fun. They need to know that dad actually has a good time and he's not just the worst. Have fun. And goodness gracious, pray with those kids. Pray. So that's a couple. There could be a laundry list more, but those are great ones, right? Here's what Dr. Ted Tripp, and I give this book out when we have new babies around here and we recognize new babies, but Shepherding a Child's Heart, he says this: your child's needs are far more profound than his aberrant behavior. His behavior does not just spring forth uncaused. His behavior reflects his heart. If you are to really help him, you must be concerned with the attitudes of the heart that drive his behavior. This understanding does marvelous things for discipline. It makes the heart the issue, not just the behavior. The point of confrontation is what is occurring in the heart. Your concern is to unmask your child's sin, helping him to understand how it reflects a heart that has strayed, that leads to the cross of Christ. This is what God's been doing for you your whole life. He's never been as concerned about the fact that you keep doing this sin. He's been a lot more concerned with the heart that's causing you to do it. He's not upset with you that, wow, you lied again. You stole again. You went back to that addiction again. You did that again. Yeah, he died for that. He paid a heavy price for that. But he cares about the heart of the matter. Will your heart turn to Jesus? Will your heart recognize him as Lord? That's what he cares about. And as a parent, we're a reflection of Christ. Do you care about the child's heart? This is what makes parenting both complicated but kind of fun. That you're like a detective, constantly working on this kid going, oh, there it is. Underneath it all was fear. You were afraid of me. You were afraid of this. Underneath it all was pride. Wow, I didn't know my kid was so prideful in this particular area. Nate just got a haircut, y'all. If you see him walking around, he just got a haircut. And if he'd let me style it, it looks great. Pawpaw cut it. It looks good. Pawpaw did a good job. Pawpaw had it looking nice yesterday. As soon as he got home and Pawpaw left, he ruined it. And he's got the weirdest reverse pride I've ever seen in my life. He wants to look awful, and he's proud of it. I don't understand him sometimes. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. I've told him, his mommy's told me, his grandparents have told him, his siblings have told him, your hair looks better like that. That's not how I like it. Even his friends at school, wow, your hair kind of looks moppy today. Wow, that's not a compliment, son. That's not a good thing. I'm rolling with it, Dad. Like, what, man. I don't know if that's pride or just the best case of stubborn I've ever seen in my life. He's amazing. That's the heart of the matter. The behavior, I don't care about this, but what is underneath that? What causes you to do that? Is it pride? Is it? I'm still working on that, church. Y'all be praying for me. That boy just wants to look like a madman. I don't know. He wants his hair to come. His bedhead is his favorite. Y'all don't want to see me with bedhead. I got a lot of hair up here now. I woke up this morning, it was like, that would have been awesome. I should have come to church like that for that particular illustration. But you wouldn't have taken me seriously, I don't think. Be sensitive to your kid's personality. Get to the heart of the matter. This works. This isn't just a parenting tip. This is a tip for you personally. What's God doing in your life right now to get to the heart of the matter? You keep looking at the sin and keep forgetting to look into the heart of the matter. And this is what's dangerous, I think. I've had sin struggles in my life, just like we all have, and we have different ones, but I've had some that are deeply rooted, and my problem will be, I just keep coming back and saying, God, help me with this sin, and help me stop doing this. But he wants me to dig a little deeper and go, oh, it's because I'm not satisfied with you. The reason I keep going back to this sin area is because I've forgotten that I need to get all of my trust and my satisfaction in you. And that's what causes me to go back to this thing that for temporary moments satisfies me. That's what I'm learning. And I need to help my kid learn that. What's God teaching you? What's the heart of the matter underneath the sin struggle you're having? Dig deeper. And as you dig deeper as a parent. Dig deeper with your friends. You want true friends? Find the ones that go, okay, I understand what's happening in your life, but what's causing it? What's underneath that? This is a good word from the Lord today. Here's the fourth command. So I do want to let you eat lunch today. I hear you grumbling. I'm just kidding. Here's the fourth and last. Train them with appropriate discipline and instruction. Verse 4 goes on to say, bring them up. That's the fourth command. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up is literally to nourish. Nourish to maturity, to nurture, to rear, to train. Parents should have this goal in mind. Some of us could walk out of here today and the best instruction you could have as a parent is to know you need a new goal. That just if you could just fix that one thing, that my goal is no longer for my kid to be this super athlete, this whatever, that would be great. Lord can do that. Maybe the Lord has purposed that child to be that. But what's your goal? Lead them to Jesus. Lead them to the cross. Help them, their heart to be turned to the Lord. That's your goal. When you set that as your goal, it changes your love, it changes your discipline, it realigns your purpose. Parents should have that goal in mind, to represent God's authority to them and lead them to the cross. What is the discipline here? It's literally to be tutored. Paideia is the word. We still use this word. Are there any teachers in the room? Any teachers? Anyone heard the term pedagogy? That means that's the study of how to teach, right? That's what that means. That comes from the Greek, paideia, which is to teach. That's what discipline is. It's education. It's training. It's also correction. If you ever had a good teacher in school, that was a teacher that would sometimes put it on you, right? Maybe if you were way back in the day, that was the kind of teacher. Back in the day, they could beat kids. Huh? That's crazy stuff, right? I miss that. I'm just a little too young for that. That amazes me. But even I had teachers that would just shut me down. If I started saying something foolish, he'd say, "That's false." All right? Here's why. I used to mess with my history, one of my U.S. history instructors, who I loved this teacher, right? And so I knew what would get under his skin, but he would shut me down because he was smarter than me. And I loved that, right? It was fun for me. Good teachers do that. They know when to correct. No, that's not when the Declaration of Independence was signed. And no, you can't go on believing that. This is what we do sometimes as parents. Sure, you want it to be 1805. No, it's 1776. You don't have a choice in the matter. There's absolute truths. Yes, God is real. Yes, Christ died on a cross. You don't get the option. It's true. You can choose to believe it or not. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. This is what you got to do with kids sometimes. They need absolutes in their life. Discipline, education, cherishing, nurturing, instruction. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Some of you have seen your kids grow up and they've gone on a wild rampage. And maybe you did the best you could. But if you train them up, they will come around. It's in them. And you can trust the Lord with that. You can continue in prayer, continue trusting God with that. That if it's in there, God's going to bring it out. That's the scary thing about being a parent anyway, is you can't make them come to faith. There's nothing you can do or say to make them do it. You can only give them the truth. It's like anybody else. You have no more power over your kids for them to come to faith than you do a stranger. The only more power you have is to give them more instruction. Then you got to trust the Holy Spirit. And that's terrifying. But only the Lord can do it. Hebrews 12, says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Parents in the room, it's okay to discipline your kids. Even better, it's incredibly important. And I'm not just talking about some kind of physical discipline. I'm talking about the nature of discipline. That you care enough about them to tell them what's right and wrong and to discipline them accordingly. If you're not going to do what's right, you're going to lose things. You're going to get spanked. Whatever your house is doing, I'll let you know, we spank in my house. I was spanked as a child, and it worked out. People have been getting spanked for years, right? If you have a problem with that, there's other methods that I think work. I've not necessarily tried them all, but there needs to be some form of discipline in your house, and kids need to know right from wrong, but at the same time, they need to know you love them. That was a weird thing my dad used to do, and now I kind of do it to my kids. And they've got to think it's just as weird as I used to. And if y'all don't know this, your pastor got more spankings than either of the siblings. Aaron can attest to this. I got a spanking every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because I am a high-energy guy. If you haven't noticed that, it ain't changed. I got a good tank. I got a good engine. I can go, go, go. And I had it even better when I was little. And so every Sunday afternoon, me and Ian Owens and the Wheeler boys, we'd be out red-faced running, and I was the ringleader. And we'd be running hard, and my dad would see me come tearing down that hallway. I would try to avoid him, but boy, he'd catch me almost every single week. Like, when you get home, go to your room. I'm like, well. And it's hard to keep running at that point. I'm like, well, man, that's going to hurt. That's not going to be fun. And I'm probably going to do it next week. He doesn't understand me. You know, I'm just kidding. That happened to me a lot, man. I got a lot of spankings. But you know what my dad used to say to me? He'd come up there. And I never believed him. I'm still not sure I do. He'd say, you know, in some ways this is going to hurt me more than you. I'm like, okay. He's like, I love you, son. Okay. You're confusing me. The first time he did it to me, what's about to happen? You love me? You're going to spank me? I don't know what's going on here. And he would say that almost every time. I love you, but you got to stop doing whatever it was. This isn't right. This isn't what we've taught you. And yeah, I get a spanking, but every time it was, you know, I love you. I don't want to do this. This is not, I get that now as a parent. I don't necessarily say that line because that used to confuse me. This is going to hurt me more than, there's no way it's going to hurt you more than me. No way. But I do get the heart of the matter, what he was trying to say. And what he's trying to say is, as a parent, you don't want to, it's not fun. It's not fun as a father to do any form of discipline. It's sometimes you put your kids in time out or you take something away from them that you like to do with them, but you have to take it away. That's painful for me. Now I can't enjoy this with you. Yeah, I like to, me and Nate play these little Lego games together and stuff. Well, the boy can't play electronics today because he won't stop hitting his sister. And spankings don't seem to be working on the boy. He just takes them. But the electronics things breaks his world. Because something's, this whole generation, y'all better watch out. I thought we were bad. You take those away, it ruins his day. But now I can't play with him. And I have fun doing that. Sometimes I understand the heart of the matter, but he needs to know, I love you, but I am going to discipline you. This is important. Just like the Savior is doing for me every single day. He doesn't let me just keep on going. When I go back to that sin area, the Holy Spirit convicts me, and that hurts. And I feel the Lord saying, son, I don't want you to live this way. I love you too much. But you've got to change. Because he's the best parent. And if we would just follow his example, we would know. Keep disciplining those kids with love. A little bit left here. Hang with me. I'm going to skip this chart because it's just too charty. Going on to Proverbs 22. You can have the chart. If you're a chart guy, I'll give you a chart. Don't you worry. Later on. Proverbs 22 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And that's true. Your kids come out of the womb with folly. Crazy amounts of folly. I like that word. Proverbs 23 says, don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. That's kind of where I lean, y'all. You do what you want with that. That's God's word. Chip Ingram's book, I want to give you one last little quote. Parenting myth, I've been liking these parenting myths. It says, your goal is to make your children happy. This is a parenting myth. Your goal is to make your children happy. Here's the parenting reality. Your goal is to train your kids to be holy. Train your kids to be holy. They aren't always going to be happy. But if you train them to be holy, they'll understand what joy really is. They'll get the fruit of the Spirit. Train them to be holy. What are you raising your kids to be? Give them a biblical standard to obey. Show them something to honor. Teach them to honor. Encourage them with consistency. And then lastly, train them up. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we recognize when we come to this task of being a parent, but also of just being someone who is led by you in discipline and instruction, that this is overwhelming. Certainly overwhelming as just an individual trying to follow you, Lord Jesus. But God, first of all, we come to you in prayer and recognizing that you are powerful, that you are almighty, that you are omniscient, and the questions that I have right now, you have the answer. If I would search you, if I would pray for an encounter with you, if I would just for a moment open up my own mind and heart to hear from you and just let some of this other stuff that's got me easily entangled, let it set aside for a moment. Lord Jesus, we know that you love us. You love us better than we could ever be as parents. Love us far beyond that, and it is your goal, it is your desire that we would know you more, that we would receive our blessing from you, our many gifts from you, and that you're ready to give them. The peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the comfort, the love, the faithfulness, that all of that that comes from you, you're ready to give it if we would just come to the table. So we're doing that right now, Lord. Help all of us in this room, first of all, to recognize who you are, a holy and sovereign God who loves us enough to die for us and cares enough for us to continue to comfort us and be with us in everything we do. Thank you for who you are first, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we come to you in obedience this morning, recognizing we are not up to the task of life, not up to being the kind of believers you've called us to be, first of all. So continue to be the great Father that we need you to be, helping us to know where to walk, shining the light on our path, helping us to understand what kind of sons and daughters you've called us to be. Continue to discipline us, Lord. What a weird prayer, but I truly believe it. Continue to guide us with correction, with instruction. When my heart gets far from you, God, please prick it and bring it back to you. Don't allow me to fall far from you. Keep me with you. Lord, help us in this room, those parents in the room, those ones that are right in the middle of those weeds right now, Lord, trying to understand how to be a father like you are, a mother like you've called us to be, God. Teach us. Help us to find devotion in our lives every day that will make habits in our lives in prayer and in your word. Let your word guide us. Lord, I'm praying for every person in this room that maybe is struggling right now in God's Word, that you will start opening up their eyes and hearts, that the littlest little instructions in your Word are going to start jumping off the page. Lord, give us that. Help us to understand your Word so that we can deliver it to our friends, to our families, to our coworkers, and certainly to our children. Help us, Lord Jesus. Create in us the heart that you want us to have. Give us clear purpose, gospel meaning, and Lord, help us to love like you loved us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.